Even though they were sent to keep me in line, it's still a privilege to have in our home. Jay and Audrey, you know, I look back, Jay, and you've been such a help to us at our church. And in one way that I can see over the years that you've come, you've helped us get free from a religious spirit, helped us get free from some legalism, and for that we're really appreciative because you kept us grounded in the true Word of God, and thank you. So, you got rest of the afternoon. We'll take a break for supper, and then you got the evening. No.
Good. Good.
Oh, by the way,
somebody wants to
see. Oh, Children's Church, you can be released. And there's going to be a basket back here, and we'd like to bless Jay and Audrey. So if there's anybody who would like to give in to them, they kind of, I've known them for many years, and they kind of walk by faith, and they're always rejoicing when a little money comes in. and they really rejoice when a lot of money comes in.
Nothing comes in. Is it on? Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good all the time. Hallelujah. And he doesn't change. We change, but he doesn't change. Something's humming. Okay? All right. Here we go. I don't know how Jesus ever got along without the speaking system, but he did. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What do you want to do today, Lord? Praise the Lord. You know, I was hearing that when praying for the brothers' nation and other things, and sometimes we sort of glibly use that word, you know, with God nothing is impossible. And we, well, with God nothing is impossible. But that's true. And the angel said it to Mary. And that was the most important thing that ever happened in all of history, was the coming, the birth of Jesus. And he said, with God, nothing is impossible. So it's a pretty important statement. Hallelujah. Well, I just wanted remember those, the old, in the funny paper, there was that Ziggy. Do you remember that? Some of you do. And he said, good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from poor judgment. And I seem to have had quite a bit of experience. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm not just kind of fooling around here because I don't know where to go. It's just that I don't. Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord is so good. There's a scripture over in the book of Hebrews. I think the Hebrews is towards the back of the New Testament. Philippians, Colossians. Then we kind of come to Hebrews somewhere there. If you're looking it up. And he said in Hebrews 11, where he talks about now faith. He said, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. They were commended for their now faith. Not for their future faith, but for their now faith. They believed God right now. Hallelujah. And certain of what we see or do not see. Sure of what we hope for. But I wanted to go to verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know what gets God excited? Faith. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. King James says, or not King James, but some other translation says that you believe that it's worth your while to seek after Him. Must believe that He is, or that He exists, and that it's worth your while to seek after Him. All right. Cares enough. And then, of course, it talks about all the heroes of faith. And by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Abel, by faith we understand the universe was formed, so forth. By faith, goes on. Finally, it says that that some of those that that were martyrs and so forth, it says that the world wasn't even worthy of them. And then in verse or chapter 12, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. praise the Lord. You know, Paul must have got tired at times of being sick. Physically sick. He was ill. And he says, I sought the Lord three times to get rid of this thing that was bothering me. I went to the Lord three times to get rid of that. And
Chris, I say to you what the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. The Lord says, my grace, not somebody else's grace, but his grace, is sufficient in this situation, is sufficient for you. In other words, I'll carry you through. And he has, and he is, and he does, and he will. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he's saying to you, his grace is sufficient. In every area, everything that you're going through, his grace is always sufficient. There's always enough of it. It's not going to run out. Hallelujah. It's sufficient. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I was having a little problem. I haven't had much sickness, but I have a little problem with my side during the winter and during the summer. And I got over it now, but pretty much. But but anyway, it was making it rough for me to do much of anything. We were going to go somewhere, drive somewhere, and Audrey said, well, do you feel like you can do that? And I said, oh yeah, I think I can. And I think we were coming up north somewhere. And the Lord spoke that to me. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And we made the trip, and the thing never bothered me. Because the grace of God is sufficient. Hallelujah. You know, the grace of God is sufficient in every situation that we will come into in our lives. There's sufficient grace for it. Praise the Lord. There's a couple of we're just talking a little bit about faith here this morning. Over in the book of Matthew, Jesus ran into two people that he healed, and he said, I have never seen faith like this. And I used to wonder, how come? There's the faith of the centurion in Matthew 8. It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, verse 5, centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed in terrible suffering. Jesus said, I'll go and heal him. And the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word. When our brother was praying, and you were praying for the lady in Israel, I thought about this scripture. Just say the word. Evidently, we don't have to be there. Evidently, Jesus didn't have to be there. He said, just say the word, and and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority and soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does that. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, and there will be weeping, gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to the centurion, go, and it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. And then there's another over in Matthew 15. The Canaanite woman came in verse 21. Leaving this place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." And the woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. And he replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Jesus, did you say?" "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted," and her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now, what makes those two have great faith? I used to preach and say, well, this centurion, well, he understood authority and so forth, and that's what Jesus thought. You know, man, this guy's got it. But then, what about this woman? She certainly didn't understand anything about authority, and not only that, but Jesus just seemed to really tear her apart. And yet she wouldn't give up. What made them have faith that he called great faith? And then I began to realize it was because they were both Gentiles. And they didn't know anything about the law. Uh-oh. Both of them were Gentiles. All they knew was that this guy named Jesus was going around healing people, and I think I can get in on it. They weren't law keepers. They weren't trying to follow some set of rules or regulations. They were just Gentiles. And Jesus said, "I've not seen this kind of faith in all of Israel." And he healed them both. This poor little woman. I think I probably would have been discouraged. I might have even been kind of mad if somebody had said, "Well, not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." But she said, "Even the dogs get some crumbs." She understood something about grace. She understood something about Jesus. She saw something in him, and she realized that she was not going to get healed by the works that she did, but she was going to get healed by the word of Jesus. And this centurion, he saw something in Jesus. And he didn't care. You know, it bothered the religious leaders that Jesus did most of his healing on the Sabbath day. "Not supposed to work on the Sabbath," they said. When he told the man to stretch forth his hand and he was healed, you know, and the ruler of the synagogue said, Why do you work on the Sabbath? Jesus said, you hypocrite. Should you go and water your calf on the Sabbath, don't you? Isn't that work? Said your priests are killing animals on the Sabbath. Isn't that work? Said, how about this poor man who has this crippled hand? You mean that I'm not supposed to heal him on the Sabbath? Faith is what pleases God, not works, not struggling, not our own initiative, not our own ability, not our trying, but our believing. Hallelujah. And so we find then him saying in Hebrews, back here in Hebrews, Jesus is the author and the finisher or perfecter of our faith. The one who starts it, the one who finishes it. Yeah. Come up here. So come in here. Grab that microphone. You'll put it on.
Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finish this race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that'll shoot adrenaline into your souls.
That'll shoot adrenaline into your souls. Hallelujah. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We kind of think that somewhere along the line we got up enough faith to believe God to be saved. No. He gave it to you. I was I was talking to somebody a while back the other day. And this person said, I just don't have enough faith. I said, well, do you think Jesus has enough? Oh, yeah, I'm sure he does. Well, then, why don't you use his? Quit trying to use your own. Amen? Because it's all him. It's all Christ. Hallelujah. He is my everything. He is my all. We had a guy come through Elk River years ago. He was a Catholic priest, and he administered healing to people. And he said, God writes straight with crooked lines. That was one of his favorite sayings. They asked me to come and minister with him over in the Catholic Church on a Sunday evening. So I went over, and they took me in the side room, and they put a robe on me. And I'd never worn one of those things before. And then they pulled out a big long drawer, and it was full of those deals they wear around their neck. You know what do they call those? Scapulas, is that what they call them? Anyway, they said, well, take one. I said, will you pick out one for me? Because I figured I'd probably pick out the wrong one, you know. And so they put one on me. And man, I really felt spiritual. Had my hands clasped when I walked out. And we had a guy and his wife in our church that had come there, and he came from the Catholic Church. And when I walked out with that robe, he just about went berserk. Like that. It didn't last too long, because the next time the guy came, none of us even wore robes. We saw some healings. We saw some healings take place. One of the first times I ever ministered, I've ministered lots of times with Catholic folks, and with different people in the Catholic Church and so forth. But that was one of the first times. It was fun. Because God writes straight with crooked lines. You never know what he's going to do if you let him do it. And we got out a couple basins after a while, and I washed his feet and he washed mine. None of us, neither of us had dirty feet, but It was a good thing that happened there. We were both crying, and God was doing something in me. I think He was doing something in Michael Gatos, the priest. And I thought about what Jesus said. I see we're going to take communion. And I thought about what Jesus said at the time of the Passover, the Last Supper. It said Jesus, knowing where He came from, knowing where His power and authority was, knowing where He was going, took off His outer garment, put a towel around Him, got down and washed the disciples' feet. You see, Jesus knew who He was, He knew where He came from, and He knew where He was going, so He could wash His disciples' feet. Disciples argued over who was going to be greatest in the kingdom and who's going to sit on this side and that side, and they worried about all those things. And Jesus just ministered. If you know who you are, where you come from, where you're going, know who you belong to, you can minister. You can wash people's feet. Hallelujah. And I'm not advocating foot washing ceremony. I've been in those, but what I'm advocating is that as the body of Christ, and I so appreciated when Louis got up and spoke that word this morning, because that's what the body of Christ needs to do. That's washing one another's feet. It's reaching out and ministering to people, touching their lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And this church, the Lord has a calling on you. They're calling on you to do that very thing in grace, in humility, in love, to reach out and touch people. Just like this lady that you're talking about having come here from overseas. Just to love on her. So important. So many churches want to bring people in to see what they can get from them. I knew we had a prophetess friend, and she had a word that was accurate, that was right on. And if she spoke a word to you, you better listen. And she'd been through so much that when she heard from God and when she spoke a word, it was accurate. I never saw her miss. and the word, giving a word. And forgot what I was start out to say about her. But anyway, she was so accurate, and yet people would have her come so many times to see, to draw out of her, you know, that she finally got to the point where she said, she was tired of having people try to pull something out of her or want her to manufacture a word of some kind. And, you know, that's something that we have to watch, but I believe that that's something that you're not trying to do. And it's something that you want to give, you want to minister to people. I've been ministered here, to here many times that I've been here. And, I always go away refreshed in my own spirit. Praise the Lord. Even though I minister when I come, I'm always refreshed in the Lord. And and so that's one of your gifts as a body of Christ. That's one of your gifts, is ministering to people. That's why people like to come here and minister, because they are ministered to. And the Lord is going to use you in that way more. And even from this lady, I don't know when she's going to come or if or what, but you will find that there will be other people that will be coming, and you will be ministering to them and building them up so that they will be encouraged. They will go away encouraged. They will go away feeling like this body has ministered and built them up and lifted them, rather than sat there and said, okay, now do something for us, feed us, do something, see what you can do, you know. Praise the Lord. I believe that's what the Lord is calling, one of the things the Lord is calling you to. And I see during the night I was seeing the Lord bring young people, more young people into here, more young college age or high school age young people. And there's quite a few here, but I saw the Lord bringing in a bunch more. I saw a place, and I was standing in the middle, and then I was gone for a little bit, and I came back. And when I came back, there was bleachers up on this side, and it was filled with young people. And then I looked around, and there were people everywhere, all around. I was standing in the middle, and I said, Lord, what do I say to these people? What do I minister to these people? And the Lord said, this is not just for you to understand about ministry, but it's to understand about what I want to do. Praise the Lord. And I saw these bleachers. It was strange, because I saw bleachers like that, and people sitting on them. I said, "Well, Lord, why are those bleachers there? Why are people sitting up on bleachers?" And I felt the Lord say, "It's to show you that they are young people." And it's like an event, a ball game or something of that nature. It's that type of of ministry and life that's going to be flowing in. And I felt like that was for this church. And anticipate. You know, miracles happen if we anticipate, if we expect them to happen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This brother that gave the testimony, did you say, I didn't catch what you said about your, was it your father or your family? Something about your family? What was that that he said about his, what, that you said about? Are there. Okay. Are they afflicted with the disease? No. Okay. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. But I believe as we believe this morning, I believe the Lord begin. I believe that He began to do something with that, concerning that affliction, that disease that's there. And that is being lifted, praise the Lord, and that it's going to be a miraculous thing that's going to happen. It's not just something that man's going to do, but it's going to be a miraculous happening in God that's going to begin to lift this thing, as the people there along with people are believing and praying and speaking that thing. I believe that the Lord is lifting that disease. He's going to lift it off from the people. Praise the Lord. And begin to thank Him for it. Begin to rejoice in it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. And there's someone here that has that's having a lot of difficulty with your throat. You're having a kind of a sore throat or a raspy throat or some. Who is that person having some? You've been having some throat issues. Okay, all right. When she comes back, we'll believe for her. And they'll be coming back in. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Someone else that I don't know just how to say this, but you're having some problems with your with your stomach or your intestines, your bowels, there's something there that isn't functioning properly. You know it. Maybe nobody else does, but you know that situation is there. And I believe the Lord wants to touch that this morning. Who is that person? Are you here? All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's an anxiety and anxiousness. It's a nervous thing that's gotten hold of you. Yeah. And the Lord is going, give me a hand. Touch it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let your healing flow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We speak healing to her. Speak deliverance to her in Jesus' name. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Audrey, do you have anything? Come up. Praise the Lord. We just minister to you for a minute. Take that. Mm-hmm.